This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again the same time each week, and again we count it our privilege to have you join along and follow along in our Bible studies. We do thank you for the mail that you have sent, the letters that you write to us, and quite a response to these messages here, but it has really stimulated a lot of people to realize that when you die, you're going to heaven or hell. This little religious game of I'm joining a Presbyterian church or I'm joining a Baptist church or there's more people in our town that belong to the Lutheran church or the Catholic church, and you feel secure in that. But your security is a false security, a false peace, and a false rest. Because the only security that you and I or any human being can possibly have is what God says in the Bible. And he says, therefore, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So I'm not trusting having peace with God because I'm a pastor, or because I hope you're not trusting because you go to a particular denomination. I remember one lady told me quite some time back, she said, we'd like to come to your church, but all of our friends are at this other church. Well, the other church where they go believes that you got to be baptized to go to heaven. They have women preachers, they baptize babies, and all that kind of false stuff, and believe that baptism washes away your sins. So, you know, a lot of people base upon how they're accepted in society and how they're going to feel good and so forth, and do not base it upon the Word of God. What am I being taught? Am I being lied to? And if you have, the Lord says there are many, many false teachers out there. I've never seen anything in my life like America. When, at least back, I would say, 50 years ago, you know, it seemed like, well, there were principles, there were Christian homes. And all of a sudden, it just seems like, well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but gradually, I should say, in 50 years, we have more false cult churches than I have ever seen. I mean, we've got them in America. You've got more false cult churches than I know of when you examine Africa and their countries, or India and so forth. You'll find out you have a main line denominations, if you want to put it that way, there with Hinduism and you have with Muslims and so forth. But in America, we've got everything, brother. We've got just about every damnable cult religion you can think of. And it's getting so that unless you know your Bible, it's getting hard to find a Bible-teaching church anymore that teaches right straight down the line. Well, so much for that. I want to go on here because and pick up where we left off from last week. And we found out last week concerning here, we covered a little bit of this here, as far as purgatory and their traditions and so forth of Catholicism. And I want to read you from the Catholic Doctrinal Guide. It says, in this doctrinal guide, an effort has been made to present a number of the more important topics of Catholic teaching in as simple manner as possible. We Catholics maintain that the Bible is not the sole source of Christ's teaching, but that we have a double rule of faith, namely the Bible and tradition. And that is damnable, because God continually warns about your tradition, and that's saying that God didn't finish the Bible, you know. And you sit around these little councils at Trent and so forth, and make up these things, and then we find out it contradicts the Bible. But you want me to believe anything that your church puts out, Roman Catholic Church, and you said some person back here said this, or some saint said this, or St. Augustine, or St. Jerome, or so forth, and then you want me to believe that? I mean, that is an insult to my intelligence, sir, that you want me to believe this garbage. When I have the Bible in front of me, and I'm having a problem trying to get you to believe the Bible, and yet you're going to add a bunch of stuff to it? In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, my Bible says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, these men to write the Bible, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And Mr. Roman Catholic Church, I've found you've been a liar in a lot of things. You're telling me that Peter is a pope. You're telling me to eat fish on Friday. You're telling your priest not to be married. God says to be married in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Your idea of not having the priest married, sir, is a satanic, damnable doctrine that you have made up. It's not in the Bible. And then you're telling another damnable doctrine of, well, now, you're going to feel better if you obey us now. Don't eat fish on Friday. Well, I'll tell you what, sir. You don't control my life. The Bible does. And it says we're not the better if we eat. We're not the worse if we eat not. And I don't want that stuff pawned off on me. Now, if people are silly enough, want to go ahead and follow that kind of thing that's made up by you men, and you throw out here, and their full confidence is in you instead of the Bible, that is their demise. But I'll tell you one thing. Dear Lord, don't blame me, because I'm going to tell them the truth. Here's what you said. So it depends upon you listening. You can get mad, just turn the radio off, fine, go your way. Or it may challenge you enough to look, hey, I'm going to heaven or hell when I die. This isn't a game, brother. I want to find out what is truth. We're going to continue on. Last week we stopped. Our time ran out. We're over in Luke chapter 16 now. I'd like for you to go over there again. In verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's a Jewish terminology for paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes. That's Hades, hell. It had two compartments. It had one compartment that was paradise. The other compartment was torment. And I remember I hear this on the rosary and some of these other things on these so-called mysteries that Catholicism puts out. It says, now the mystery of this and the mystery of that, how that when Christ died, he went to hell. No, when Christ died, you lied to me again. I read in my Bible, hell had two compartments, sir. So you didn't differentiate which one you're talking about there. You just said Christ went to hell, and you led me to believe that he burned in the flames of hell, sir. That's what the Roman Catholic Church, what you led me to believe. If I read in my Bible in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, that when the thief on the cross there, he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, get this now, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Not in hell, not the lake of fire, you see, but in paradise. So you lied to me again, Mr. Roman Catholic Church, and I reject that 100%. If anybody wants to believe what you tell them, fine. I would fight for their right to do that and the freedom they have to do it. You fight for my right to tell them the truth, sir. Now, let me say this. We go on here. Here the man died. He was in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He was very much alive. He cried out and said to Abraham, he said, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Well, that's very interesting. Where's purgatory at, sir? Now, you're telling me by your church, your Roman Catholic Church, that this fellow should have went to purgatory, sir. But he didn't go to purgatory. So I'm going to have to conclude you're lying to me. And I do conclude that 100%. And I don't really like that. When it comes to my destiny of heaven or hell, I don't really like a church lying to me. I really don't. Now, I'm going to say again, because this is so much that comes out, Satan likes for you to do, oh, Pastor Younce, you hate Catholics. No, Pastor Younce does not hate Catholics. If I hated Catholics, I wouldn't tell you that you go to heaven when you die or you go to hell when you die. There is no purgatory. I just let you be deceived, you see, thinking you're going to purgatory when you're not going to purgatory, because purgatory never existed. So you see, that's a lie. So don't have the church tell you to tell me that I hate Catholics when that is a lie out of hell. I love people. We're not even talking about the people. We're talking about the organization that propagates these lies upon the people to deceive the people. And purgatory, as I've said before, is the biggest money ripoff I have ever seen devised by organized religion to get the money from your pockets into their coffers, you see. Now, if you're silly enough to do it, to pay to get somebody out of a place that never existed and they never went, well, it's your money, friend. But I'll tell you what, I don't like being deceived. I really don't. Now, let's go to the Bible and see what God says, all right? We go over here and we find out in the Gospel of John, which is the great gospel here concerning salvation, and we find out, and a verse you're familiar with in John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So I don't see anything about purgatory. In other words, I shouldn't perish but have eternal life. And then I find out in John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I don't see anything here about stopping over in purgatory, sir. I don't see anything about that at all. And he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And then we come over to John chapter 5. I don't see anything about purgatory here. I mean, if we have everlasting life, we don't get it until we die. We have it. We possess it. But we don't experience it until we die, till we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I'd like for you, all the way through to the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I don't see anything about purgatory here. As the Catholics say, it's a word they made up to apply to what they want you to believe, but you don't find it in the Bible. Now, I'd like for you to go in your Bible to 2 Corinthians here in chapter 5. That's very interesting because we're going to see Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians here, and concerning about when you die. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 on down through the chapter, we find many doctrinal things. But he talks about here dying. So I'd like for you to notice in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house," that's this body, "of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens." And then he goes on to say in verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up alive." Mortality is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. If you go clear back, and we go back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talked about that, and we'll tell you why the mortality here is speaking about here when the Lord comes. Now, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find this. He says here in verse 50, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption." What do you mean? Corruption is the bodies, because these bodies are sinful bodies, most assuredly are. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now get this now. When the Lord comes, in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, we find out, "For this corruption, that is, those that have died," these old dead bodies, they died, "must put on incorruption," that's bodies that'll never see decay. "And this mortal," that's those that are alive, "must put on immortality," that is, bodies that will never taste death. We find out in Philippians, in chapter 3, verse 20, says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself." And then he goes on down here, "O death," here, "where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We don't find out anything here that's speaking about this. And then he goes on in verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, that's the new bodies, and this mortal, that's those that are alive, shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up into victory. I don't find anything about a purgatory. Now, we're talking about dying and when the Lord comes back at the rapture and sending us into purgatory? No, no. We find out that the decayed bodies are going to have a resurrection. We find out that the person who is alive, this mortal, shall put on immortality. We don't find him sending us and taking us alive anywhere, but transforming our bodies, taking us right straight up into heaven. We don't find any purgatory at all, you see. And then we come on down, and we find out here in verse 8. It says, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This isn't anything about present in purgatory. I'm just saying this, and then we're going on because there are some other things that we want to bring out. But I want to just stop right here and say this. Purgatory is a lie out of hell. It's devised by the Roman Catholic Church. There are very few that I know that even would think of propagating something like this. It came out of the Council of Trent and so forth. There's no truth to it whatsoever. If you want to believe it, that's up to you. But I'll tell you this, when you stand before Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this, I told you it was a lie, and I stand right there. And I will tell you over and over, it's a lie out of hell. So you do with it what you want. I would fight for your right. If you want to believe a lie, go ahead. Fight for my right to tell the truth. And we'll be on the same ground. And I think you ought to do that, you see. Now, we're going on here to something else that, truthfully, several other things. But I want to go on, I don't know if we'll get it on this broadcast here or the next one, but on the priesthood. I'm going to make a statement. There are no priests today sanctioned by God. There are none. The priesthood is a fabricated priesthood by Roman Catholicism. It has no credibility in the Bible whatsoever. And it's very interesting because, and I'll just throw this out a little bit ahead of time, that first of all, there was the Old Testament priest. Now, there were different priests there were false priests for the false gods and so forth. There were priests of different countries and so forth. We're talking about priest of God now. The priests that God had were the Old Testament priest, and they were the priest of Israel. They're not your priests, they're the Gentiles. The priests that were there were many things that the priests were told to do, and there were a lot of qualifications in which they had to fulfill to be a priest. First of all, and maybe we'll start on this a little bit and continue on it, because you look at a priest today, he's all dressed up like a priest and so forth, presents himself a priest, he has a white collar around, so he's identified with the Roman Catholic Church, and you are told that he's a priest. You've been lied to. A priest not from the Bible now. And the reason we say this is very simply because we can substantiate it. First of all, the priest of the Bible was connected with the nation of Israel. And let me give you some very basic things, and then we're going into the New Testament to show that Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, all of the Old Testament priests and the whole priestly line ended right there. Christ is our high priest. There are no earthly priests today. Mormonism has the priest of Melchizedek and Aaronic priesthood. That is phonier than a $3 bill, along with the Roman Catholic Church presenting their men and saying, here are priests, we want you to come and he'll forgive your sins. What a bunch of malarkey. So, we're going to find from the Bible. Now, if you just want to follow along with your church, you don't want to know the truth, then fine, turn the radio off, because unless you have a desire to know the truth, then you are going to be deceived. It depends on what you want, you see. Now, as for me, when I'm considering the end of what I believe, heaven or hell, I'm not going to take the word of some organization. I'm going to the Bible. We have 66 books in the Bible, and I'm going to those books. And I'm going to what Jesus Christ said, and I could care less how many men sit around and pretend to be important and how religious they project themselves. You men mean nothing to me. But Jesus Christ does. Because Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus Christ says, you know, God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. That's me. and whosoever believeth in me will never perish but have everlasting life. So I choose myself personally to believe in Jesus Christ, and I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, and I'm not deceived by a bunch of little religious organizations that sit around and conjure up all these things and throw them out to the public and hope to brainwash them just because they can get a lot of their money and get a lot of their support and give them a false peace and send them right straight to hell when they die. No, I don't want a part of that. I don't want involved in that. I don't want to be myself deceived by these deceitful people. And I find the Bible, all scripture given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for reproof, correction, instruction into righteousness, and so forth. I find out that God never lied to me, and he wrote in the Bible what he wanted mankind to know, and he didn't give it to anybody else after the canon of the scriptures was complete. Now, concerning the Old Testament priest, I remember when you have, go over to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 7 in verse 64, you find out when Nehemiah had came there to Ezra had come, he had built the temple and that, and then Nehemiah came and they built the walls of the city and so forth there. And then they had had found the law and so forth, and they got checking the register there because they were getting ready now to worship and so forth. And they found out in chapter 7 and verse 64 there were some false priests who said, "We're priests." But he threw them out, and he said, "No, you're false priest. You're not real priest at all." Well, we're going to compare that with the Bible, the priest that the Roman Catholic Church throws out to us today or to the world and wants to tell us that these are priests. And from the Bible, these are false priests. There is no office for the priesthood today. So I choose to believe the Bible. But we're going to see this. We find out that, as we've said, there are many priests. The Egyptians had priests. We find out that the Philistines had priests. There were priests of Dagon, the god, false god, Baal, the false god, Shemosh, the false god, Balaam, Asherim, and so forth. All of these had priests that offered the false worshiping to, and a lot of people followed them, you see. But under the priesthood, let me explain this if I can, and it'll be sort of interesting as we go through this. You had the high priest, that was the one that went into the Holy of Holies every year to offer for his own sins and the sins of the people. Then you had the regular priest and so forth. And then you had the Levites, that was the least of the ones in the priesthood. Now in the Old Testament, the Levites and that had charge of the taking down of the tabernacle and so forth, setting it up. There were other priests that had different charges, but the priesthood of Aaron was of the high priest and his sons. Now, that's very interesting here because as we go on here, we're going to find out all of these three different, under the priesthood now, they all had to be Levites. Now, Mr. Roman Catholic, let me ask you something. Are you a Jew? Are you of the tribe of Levi? Then if you're not, you're a false priest. Because this is the priesthood that God gave out, and it was to the nation of Israel. And we find out also that God told them, and we'll just go through a few of these things, because we could be a long time on this, I don't want to do this, but we'll give you some things that if you want to be a priest of God, and the only priest that God has, up until the cross now, is the Levitical priesthood. You had to be a Jew, and you had to be of the tribe of Levi. Are any of you priests today that are put out by a Roman Catholic Church? Are any of you Jews? Are any of you of the tribe of Levi? Every one of you have to be, or you can't be a priest, sir. And then we find out, in order to be a priest, you had to be married. You had to be married. Now, there are many other things God told them, even in chapter 28, 29, exactly what you were to wear. And a white collar and a robe wasn't any of it, sir. You had to wear a breastplate. And you had on that breastplate, you had to wear a various different stone representing each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And you had to wear that breastplate. You had to wear a certain type of garment, certain colors, and God ordered that you do that. Now, I've never seen a priest even come anywhere close to that. The only priest I've ever seen is white collars and a black robe. So you're defiling what God said for the priest to wear to begin with because you're not a priest. And there is no other priesthood outside of the Levitical priesthood ordained of God, and they were priests in order to offer the blood sacrifices for the people and so forth until the perfect blood of Christ would be shed upon Calvary. So I don't see you slaying any lambs. I don't see you slaying any calves or doves or anything, or you having an altar where you priests learn how to offer the sacrifices as God had instructed the priests to do under the old Levitical system before Calvary. At Calvary, the priesthood ceased, sir. There are no more priests. And another thing that was prohibited, now we're just taking principles of the priesthood, that you are to be married, so you absolutely defile what God told you to do, and you're going to listen to the Pope and the Church if you're a priest. And you're going to listen to them so you have a job over what God tells you in the Bible if you want to be a priest. Not only did he say to the priest, but we'll say, all right, I understand there are no priests today, but I want to be a pastor. Then you have to be married. 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that if a man desire the office of a bishop, then he desireth the good work, he shall be the husband of one wife. Well, I want to be a deacon. Okay, good. And then the same requirement is for a deacon concerning a wife, must be the husband of one wife. So any way you look at it, sir, you priests got to be married. And you're not a priest to begin with. So the next thing we look at is, God said, if we go here and go into the tabernacle, later would have been the temple, and now in the church age, we have the church of the building. That if you take any alcoholic beverage into the church, any alcoholic wine or anything, then you should die. Well, I've had Catholics tell me I refuse to take as far as the Lord's Supper because I'm not going to drink that stuff. I'm not going to drink the alcohol. And I cannot understand, when you're supposed to be holier than thou, that you'll take the damnable alcohol into your church and give it to young people and give it to the people when God says you should die. I don't know what Bible you're using, sir, but you're going to pawn that off on me as religion? No, I'm not going to follow you. I don't want anything to do with you. Because you're telling me to do opposite of what God says in the Bible. So you can't be godly men when you defile what God told you to do and then tell me to follow you. And me to go to you for you to forgive my sins when you're filled full of sin? You take liquor into the church. You're not married. You can't be a priest unless you are married. You tell me you're a priest, but you're not of the Levitical priesthood. You're not a Jew, and that's the only priest that God sanctions in the Bible, sir. Up to Calvary, let me say. So you got a lot of things that you're trying to pawn off to me under your religious organization that, truthfully, sir, I don't want anything to do with. I see our time's gone. We're going to be more on the priesthood. This will be interesting to you. But the most important thing is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm just saying this. I'm not following any priest. I'm not following the Roman Catholic Church. I'm following the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Thank you, dear Lord, for dying for me. I don't have to be deceived. I don't have to be fooled because my life, to me, is so important. I'm not trusting a man. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. I believe in you, and you promised whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. And dear Lord, thank you for that. I hope if you're listening and you haven't trusted Christ, you'll do it today. Thank you for listening. We just ask you this. If you take time and you're free on a Sunday morning, love to see you in church from 10 o'clock to 11 on Sunday night from 6 to 7. Our youth group is on Thursday night, every Thursday night from 7 to 9. Been wonderful to have you join with us. Keep looking up as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.